Knowing God and knowing ourselves will help us draw closer to Him. Knowing God and knowing ourselves will help us draw closer to God Himself. As we go throughout life and read the scriptures and interact with one another and relate to God, we grow in knowledge and appreciation of who God is. Now, part of the ugly process of growing is being honest with ourselves with who we are. Sometimes it takes looking in the mirror and being brutally honest with our failures, our weaknesses, in order that we may grow. We've all had to do it at some point, each and every one of us. And as we go through this story, we'll see two men, Moses and Aaron, and how they react to the Lord, how they react to circumstances, weaknesses, strengths. And as we continue to go through Exodus 32, I ask that in the quietness of your own hearts, be brutally honest. Which man do you most identify with? And you don't have to say anything to anybody else. But be brutally honest between you and the Lord, that we all may grow. Knowing God and knowing ourselves will help us draw closer to Him. Let us start. Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Now, I just want to clarify something in verse 1. It says, "Up, make us gods." Some translations translated, "Up, make us a god." The problem is, the term used naturally for God throughout the whole Old Testament, it is plural in nature, but we translate it as God. So the question becomes whether it's God or gods. I put forth that it is God, singular, simply because they only make one image. Up, make us gods. Do you remember in Exodus 20, I alluded to this some weeks ago, the seeds of rebellion that were sown in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verses 18 and 19. "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off," verse 19, "and they said to Moses, 'Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die.'" Here in chapter 20, do you remember, Israel said, "We no longer want to speak to God, we want to speak to you, Moses. And whatever you say, we'll do." That was a lie. But the seeds of rebellion were first sown when the nation of Israel settled for a man rather than God Himself. And back then, I'll say it again, if you were ever satisfied with the ultimate leadership of a man, you will be disappointed. Never settle for a man, pastor or priest. But God has given you His word so that you yourself may go to Him. And any genuine follower of the Lord will commend you when you read the scriptures and you ask for yourself, as Paul did with the Bereans. The seeds of rebellion were sown in chapter 20 when they said, "We don't want God. We want you, Moses, and we'll listen to you." Well, now in 32, we don't know what has become of this man. He's taking too long. Forget the fact that we walked through a sea on dry land. Forget the fact that we saw Pharaoh's army destroyed, pillars of fire by night, cloud by day. Forget what we experienced in Egypt, the execution of the Egyptian's god. No, you're taking too long. Make us a God. And because Moses and God wasn't working on their timetable. Verse 2, so Aaron said to them, Aaron, Moses' brother, take off the rings of gold that are in your ears, the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. Bring them to me. Verse 3, so all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And chapter 1, the nation of Israel gathered. And that term means to gather in haste and anger. There was a confrontation. And Aaron gave in. And made a golden calf. Made an altar before it. And then in his attempt to somehow whitewash it, tomorrow shall be a feast unto the Lord. Somehow pleasing both the people and the clear command of God not to do it. Aaron. Verse 6. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Good, huh, Aaron? You said there'll be a feast. They woke up and they offered offerings, right? And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The term rose up to play means carousing. It carries with it acts of adultery. Aaron, in his attempts to somehow please God and the Lord, allowed the people to sink into unadulterated debauchery. Verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, come down for your people. Moses, your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They've perverted themselves. They've gone crooked. Verse 8. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. See, I don't care about a golden calf. I don't care what you call it. And I don't care what altar you make before it. I told you not to make it. I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it in foundations. It was brought up this morning that somehow they thought that the calf was a representation of the Lord. And that may be true. I believe that was Aaron's intent. Old habits are hard to kill. In Egypt, they worship calves. Now they want to do something that is familiar. And in doing so, at least in Aaron's mind, the calf represented Yahweh. Look how Yahweh interprets it. Nope, they worship it. Not me. Let's be very clear. I'm not in that golden calf. They've worshiped it, sacrificed to it. And said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. That's what they said. Here's the first main point in knowing God and knowing ourselves. Here's point number one. People in rebellion to God justify their actions by changing history. People in rebellion to God justify their actions by changing history, or to be more accurate, attempt to change history, because you can't change history. But in their minds, to justify their actions of present, they change history so that they may feel better about themselves. Some golden calf didn't bring you up out of Egypt. You know better than that. You saw what happened. How can they say this golden calf? Napoleon Bonaparte has a famous quote on history. He says, history is a set of lies agreed upon. History is a set of lies agreed upon. And all of the approximate 2 million Israelites, not one, including Aaron, said that's not true. This golden calf didn't bring us up out of the land of Egypt. It's not true. But they try to change history. They change it because they don't want it to sound so bad. And if we were honest with ourselves, sometimes we change history. Sometimes in our own lives, we forget. Sometimes children forget what their parents told them. Sometimes adults forget what their bosses tell them and remember it another way. You didn't really tell me to come in early, did you? And people that are not honest before God, they change history. Or they forget history. People in rebellion to God justify their actions by attempting to change history. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked, stubborn, proud. The type of people who don't look at facts to make their decisions. They look at their own desires to make their decisions, and then they fashion everything else around it. They're proud, stiff-necked. Verse 10, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you. Here's the second part that we learn about God. God is angered by stubborn people. God is angered by stubborn people. There is nothing more frustrating than getting into an argument with a person who cares less about the facts. To try to reason with a man or a woman who would try to change facts in order to win the argument. Stubborn. And God says this one quality of the nation of Israel, they're stubborn. They sit up here and they talk about a golden calf. Really? Really? And look at the story. They knew it was golden calf. They wanted to rise up and play. They wanted the moral restraints removed. So they make up a lie they knew wasn't true. Some golden calf who brought us up out of Egypt. Because why? We wanted to eat, drink, rise up to pray. Stubborn. Stiff-necked. Proud. I wanted my way. The famous saying, don't confuse me with the facts. And God is angered by that. Can't reason with these people. All that I've done. Now God is angry. It is important to know this because as we relate to God and grow to God, may it never be said of us we're stiff-necked. Don't just simply take facts and push them off to the side because you want what you want. Very difficult to be in a relationship with someone who simply wants what they want. And I don't care about the facts that surround me. I don't care who I hurt. That which I break, let others pick up the pieces. I want what I want. The facts are a nuisance. That type of person can never draw closer to God. Never. Look at verse 11. Take a time. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. It is amazing to me that God even allows this dialogue. Amazing. You have a God who said, I'm about to wipe out 2 million people, and you've got the nerve to talk back to him. But that just shows you who God is. He can take it for those who are honest. Look at verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. Here's the third point in learning about God and ourselves. Here's the third point. Knowledge of God's word is necessary when drawing closer to God. You and I to draw closer to God, to grow in God. Knowledge of God's word is necessary. It's a must. It's not an option. And to be honest with you, I put drawing closer to God in the sermon because in honesty, it sounds better than arguing with God. He's going back and forth with God. And here's the amazing point. God is allowing it. Why? Because he's not arguing from his imagination. He's basing his dialogue on not what he necessarily wants. He is showing knowledge of history and God's word. And on the basis of that, God is allowing him to go back and forth. I still think he's wrong, but God is allowing it. He's not saying, Lord, I had a dream, I had a feeling. No. Your word, Lord. Remember Isaac and Abraham and Israel. Verse 14. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. Let me give you an example of what he just did. Believe that Moses's argument won over the Lord. Not what happened. I think Moses won over the Lord for who he was and what he was trying to do. Let me give you an example. One time we were riding in the car home, and the end of the month we were running a little low. Some years ago, had to be a good 6-7 years ago, and one of my children said, hey, Dad, let's go to McDonald's. And I said, I'm not going to tell you what it was. I'm not going to say, I don't know if we have money. And my son of all of 3 years in his great wisdom said, oh, that's not a problem, Daddy. Let's go to the bank and put your little plastic card in. We'll get the money, then we'll go to McDonald's. And I kind of said, son, you got to have something in it to get out. He didn't know. But his attempt so touched me. I said, let's go to McDonald's. Looked and we had the money, we went to McDonald's. Now his reasoning didn't sway me at all. But he did. He did. And I do believe people can get closer to God to the point to where as because of who you are and your love for others, God had just plopped in his lap, I'm going to make you the father of all nations, and Moses is arguing for other people. That servant's heart. That is what moved God. Not this argument. Verse 15, then Moses turned, went down from the mountain with the two tablets, the testimony in his hand. Tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and the back, they were written. Tablets were the work of God. And the writing was writing of God engraved on the tablets. Verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. Took the calf, verse 20, that made, You know what, I'm actually missing some verses. Drop down if you would to verse 20. He took the calf that he had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, why did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? We're told in Deuteronomy 9 that the Lord intended to kill Aaron because of this. But Moses prayed for him, and the Lord relented of that also. Look at verse 22. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. Look at Aaron. You know the people, that they are set on evil. 23, for they said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Look at verse 24. Oh, Aaron. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. Wow. I didn't put any effort into it. I just simply threw it in, and out popped this calf. Here's the fourth thing we learn. Weak leadership never takes responsibility. Weak leadership never takes responsibility. Aaron tried to pass off what happened to the people. That may be true, Aaron, but you're the leader. Word to the wise, if you have a problem saying no, don't become a leader. If you are the type of person who tries to please everyone instead of doing what is right before God, some growth needs to take place before you become a leader. Here, Aaron was not strong enough to look the nation of Israel in the eye and say, no, we're not going to do that. And if you do it, it will be over my dead body. He gave in to the people, and then when confronted by his brother, he makes excuses. Verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people had broken loose, that term means without restraint morally, they'd broken loose. For Aaron had let them break loose, to the derision of their enemies. Verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. Moses had come down from the mountain. He grounded up the verses we missed. He ground the idol into gold, put it on the water, and made the people drink the water. Now he stands and says, who's on the Lord's side? And 11 out of the 12 tribes don't move. There's still rebellion in them. Unbelievable. Verse 27, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from the gate, from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brother and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 of the people fell. Now, we don't know how the 3,000 were selected. We don't know why. Some commentators say these people were still playing, because they're still clearly in rebellion. And those who were playing were struck down. Verse 29, and Moses said, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one of the cost to his sons and his brothers, so that he might bestow a blessing upon them. Drop your eyes down to 31. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, this people have sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. And the Lord is saying, Moses, I told you that. Look at verse 32. But now, here's Moses. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. Now, I have to believe he's saying, take my life now, not eternal damnation. But take me out. Blot me out. Here's the fifth thing, one we can learn from Moses. Moses was willing to be a sacrificial lamb. If you're not willing to forgive the nation, take my life. That's a leader. That's a godly leader. Here are people that he just told the Levites, strap the swords to them, go throughout. 3,000 died. He was so angry at them, he threw the tablets down at the mountain, broke them. He's angry. These idiots made a golden calf, Lord. I can't believe it. But forgive them. And if need be, take my life. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'm at that point. Because if someone is foolish enough to do that, take him, Lord. Don't take me. But that's the heart of a leader. It's love. It's love. Verse 33. But the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Thanks, Moses, but no deal. 34. But now go, lead these people to a place about which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. Nice try, Moses. No deal. I'll let them go today. But I won't forget. Here's the last one. God may not punish sin immediately, but he will punish. God may not punish sin immediately, but he will punish. Moses, I love you, and I've given you access to me, and I've allowed you to even argue with me, Moses. But I won't change who I am. And in verse 35, then the Lord sent a plague on the people because they made the calf, the one that Aaron made. He ends the chapter hanging this golden calf right around Aaron's neck, the weak leader. While at the same time, nice try, Moses. I'm not going to take your life. You didn't do it. And in chapter 32, we see, as the story unfolds, an amazing God and a tale of two leaders. Knowing God and knowing ourselves will help us draw closer to Him. One, people in rebellion to God justify their actions by changing history or attempting to change history. Two, God is angered by stubborn people. Three, knowledge of God's word is necessary when drawing closer to God. When you pray, when you interact with God, it cannot be on the basis of your feelings and your dreams. In God's word, He tells you who He is, He tells you who you are, and He tells you specifically how to draw closer to Him. In the New Testament church, I would argue that is discipleship. The fourth one, weak leadership never takes responsibility. We can all grow to a point where we are secure in ourselves, comfortable with God and who He is and who we are, to the point where we don't look for approval from others at the sake of God's word. A leader sooner or later will have to say, no, not right. We're not going to do that. Moses, the man of God, was willing to be a sacrificial lamb. He was willing to put his life down for those people who made the calf. But as we continue to grow closer to God, we must recognize and never forget, we may get away with things today. We may get away with things tomorrow. But in due time, God will visit us. And He will punish sin. Let us close in a word of prayer.